When it was finally confirmed yesterday from the White House, President Obama spoke.
Today we can definitively say that the Gaddafi regime has come to an end. The last major regime strongholds have fallen. The new government is consolidating the control over the country. And one of the world's longest-serving dictators is no more.
A success for NATO. A new page is turned in the history of Libya. But consolidating control over the country, as the president says there, is a considerable way short of the kind of civic identity that the new government in Libya, indeed every Libyan, needs to create to have a chance at a peaceful, prosperous nation now. For 40 years, Gaddafi defined Libya and its people. What will define it and them now? To discuss that, we've got Mike Newton, Vanderbilt International Law Professor, who's also a legal advisor to the Libyan rebels, now the Libyan government. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
And Larry Korb is a former U.S. Secretary of Defense and fellow at the Center for American Progress. Larry, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be with you again.
So, Larry, let's just start with you. The question for NATO is a narrower one than the question for whither Libya. So let's just begin with the simple question first. How does this successful operation redefine NATO, if at all?
Well, I think it shows that NATO can operate out of area and it can put together a coalition of, states who want to get in rather than making everybody get in. And it shows that the Europeans can pull, their weight in NATO, that NATO is just not a United States-dominated alliance.
So, Larry Korb, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense, Mike Newton. Does suddenly the NATO participants in this operation, do they all become nation-building partners for this new nation, or does Libya kind of go it alone, Mike Newton?
Well, the president said yesterday that the United States would be committed to helping the Libyans build a system from the ground up. What we're really talking about is a large-scale institution building across the society. So the president committed to help build institutions based on dignity, respect, freedom, opportunity, fundamental human rights. Absolutely, the NATO allies can help with that. The problem they'll have, of course, will be that the International Criminal Court, to which they are all treaty-bound to assist, also has continuing jurisdiction. So they're going to have some split in terms of how they allocate and how they prioritize.
Larry, let me ask you, does NATO's future projects or future involvement in conflicts such as this depend on how things turn out in Libya? Will it depend on the investigation into Gaddafi's death or the success at the NTC at building a stable government?
Well, I think NATO is a military alliance, so I think the impact on them has already been determined. What happens now is not just NATO. It's going to be the international community. And as Professor Newton said, hopefully the United States will, take the lead in doing that. But this is no longer a NATO mission. I mean, in fact, as you pointed out at the top of the hour, Admiral Stavridis is basically going to, call a halt to the combat operation. So you have the European Union. You've got who are, for example, are still active in the Balkans.
So, Larry Korb and Mike Newton, a question for both of you then. Is the beginning of civic life in Libya, does it begin with trials of former Gaddafi associates as a way of projecting that there's a rule of law in the country and then you build from that? Or do you have to create a parliament and a political power structure parallel to whatever it is that you do with apprehending, so-called war criminals and people who committed atrocities over the last 40 years? Mike Newton, you first.
Well, the real challenge is to transcend tribalism. And I, based on my experience on the ground in Baghdad and what I know of these people in Libya, they need to try to be able to demonstrate some rapid progress, some very concrete, tangible symbolism that they are moving ahead in the right direction to build unity, to build really what the foundation of a lasting and sustainable peace. Trials are important, and they need to happen. But if there's no electricity, if there are no jobs, that's just a patchwork quilt. And people talk about the euphoria that most Libyans are experiencing this morning. That'll last about 48 hours. And then the reality, the grim realities of building a sustainable peace will set in. So there's an immense amount of work to be done. Trials are important, but they're not the only answer.
Mike Newton, Vanderbilt International Law Professor, who's a legal advisor to the Libyan rebels. Well, Larry Korb, then, if you look at the oil in Libya, the fact there's a certain amount of tribalism, they lack the Sunni-Shiite religious sectarian divide that existed in Iraq. But there is a set of civic challenges in Libya that remind me of Iraq circa, 2004, 2005. Larry Korb, is Libya the chance to do what was not done correctly in Iraq, more correctly, or learning the lessons of Iraq?
Oh, very, very, very definitely, because here this, was not an invasion by the United States-led invasion as Iraq was. This was really started by the Libyans, and there's no doubt that they have tribal differences, but we've been working with them during the combat phase here to think about a lot of these issues. And Professor Newton's right. You got to take care of the basic human necessities. The good news is for a country of 6 million people, they, have annual oil revenues of, close to $70 billion. So if we can free up some of that money, get the oil going again, they'll be able to deal with them. It's not going to be easy, but as I look at this thing, I think compared, for example, to Iraq or the Balkans, they're in much better shape, to begin than these other countries were.
Another optimistic assessment there from Larry Korb, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense. Mike Newton, what are the models around the region for dealing with some of the tribalism issues that you alluded to earlier? In Lebanon, for instance, there's a quota system where the prime minister is a Muslim, the foreign minister is another sort of designation. There's a Druze individual. Is that a model for moving forward in Libya, or what are some others?
There's no set template. When you look around the region, there's a number of different patterns that have worked in different cultures. I think the key point is that it's got to be from the ground up. The West, particularly the United States, needs to be positioned to assist in a very lean, efficient way. I know that sounds crazy with our bureaucracy, but that's what we need to do to help them from the ground up. The answer will be a Libyan answer, crafted by Libyans with international expertise and hopefully international assistance. But we have to be very careful to target in a very deliberate ways where we can help the most, but it's their struggle, it's their challenge. And to their credit, they won their independence.
Right.
Now it's time for us to help them.
Mike Newton, a Vanderbilt International Law Professor and legal advisor to the Libyan rebels. In the few seconds we have left, Larry Korb, what kind of an ally would a responsible and prosperous Libya be in North Africa?
Well, I think they'd be a good ally. They would help bring the price of oil down on the world market, and they would be an example to countries like Yemen and Syria.
We shall see. Larry Korb, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense and a fellow at the Center for American Progress. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.